And welcome in to the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this disappointing Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. The Baltimore Ravens come in, they get the job done. They win 20-13 against the Titans to end the season for the 2020/21 version of the Tennessee Titans yesterday. Fellas, how are we doing? What's going on, Joe Rex Road? How are we?
Hey, I'm still the Titans Media League champion in fantasy football.
Thank
okay,
you.
So
thank you
there's much. Always sunshine to be found, Robbie.
Absolutely. Ryan Porth, how are we doing today?
Nobody cares about your fantasy championship, Joe.
No, I'm going to keep talking about it. The more you get
nobody
mad,
nobody cares.
The more Porth is upset, the more Joe Retro talks about things.
Haven't really broken down certain individual performances. I mean, there's a long offseason to go here, guys.
Oh, man.
You ask how I'm doing? I'm not doing well this morning.
Tough one yesterday for you?
Well, of course.
Look, I just knew.
Is the sky blue?
I knew immediately when I walked in this morning you were going to be in a bad mood. So I'm here for you today, Porth. It was a tough one yesterday.
You did pick it, though, Ryan.
It doesn't. Right? That doesn't make it any better, Joe.
No, but you're not taken. You're not blindsided by this result.
No,
this does not stun you.
No, I felt all week like the Ravens were due to get the Titans, just like the Titans beat them the last two meetings, and the playoff history. It had nothing to do with yesterday, but the fact that the Titans' last home playoff game on the same day on the calendar, January 10th, 2009, was against the Ravens, and the Titans shot themselves in the foot all day long, just like they did in 2000. And for that to happen again yesterday, not to the same level of despair, but still, just sucks.
Yeah, and it was interesting, like, to get the fans' response yesterday, like, immediately after the game. Chase McCabe and I did a three-hour show here on 102.5 The Game, just kind of going down and talking about what happened and breaking down the fans' response to it, and whether it was on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com or it was on Twitter. A lot of the response, you know, you typically after it's just over and it's fresh, you get maybe some overreaction of, man, that was like the worst loss I've ever seen or been a part of. And a lot of it from Titans fans was, you know, I kind of expected this to happen. At some point, this team felt like it had an expiration date on it, and you knew that making a deep run to a Super Bowl this year with that defense probably wasn't going to be likely. So it felt like Titans fans, a lot of them anyway, were embracing themselves from what was going to happen yesterday. Now, the game itself, I think, played out a lot differently than we thought it would in terms of a Titans loss and the role the offense played in, and we'll talk about that a lot throughout the show today, Joe, but just the general sense I got immediately after the game doing the show with Chase yesterday was a lot of Titans fans felt like that loss was coming.
Yeah. You know, I think for an 11-5 team that won its division, this was still a very angst-filled season. And it's not like – I mean, there are very few seasons that are just all peaches and cream. I mean, you got to be a great team, you know. But even for 11-5, this team had such flaws, and I think, look, the bottom line is part of following a team is also following a team's offseason. That's a huge part of it. So when, you know, move A, B, C, D, and E all don't work, you're automatically, as a fan, I think, thinking about, wow, what could have been here? What could have been here? What if we had a different first-round pick here? Didn't trade this guy, signed this guy, didn't sign this guy. That was all part of the year all along, and I think that made it a less enjoyable 11-5 division winning season, even though it was an 11-5 division winning season. So that's just kind of my take on why people are probably at least more ready for this loss. Also, knowing that the Ravens are really good, and even though they beat up on some bad teams down the stretch, this is still the same basic team that went 14-2 and was the one seed last year. And I think this is a team that could win more games too, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, they looked really good yesterday. And the thing is, like, if you diagrammed up a start for this Titans team, like, I'm not sure it could have gone a whole lot better than it ended up going. I mean, I know you start the game 3-and-out, but you respond. Great play by Kevin Byard on third down on the first drive by the Ravens to force the 3-and-out. And then you come right down the field, and A.J. Brown just was dominant on that touchdown drive. Marlon Humphrey, even though the touchdown itself, I think definitely pass interference. That arm got extended on that play. The referees let him play there. You get a touchdown, you're feeling good about yourself. And on the next drive, Lamar Jackson throws what I still believe is one of the worst interceptions that I've ever seen. I mean, it was an awful – I thought Malcolm Butler was going to have to fair catch the ball. It was such a bad throw on that play. And you get up 10-0 if you're the Titans, and you feel great about yourself. I thought they were in good shape. And honestly, you know, when Brooks Reed gets that big sack and they hold him to a field goal there, and I'm thinking that the Titans could be in really good shape to make this a two-score game before the half is over. And as we know, that it did not end up happening. But I thought the start, you really couldn't have diagrammed it a whole lot better if you were a Titans fan.
Which goes to show you what we know, because that was, you know, the most important thing of ever. But I mean, that's what you thought. That's what most people thought. Like, oh, if there was ever a game where the start is so critical, here you go. And look, man, big credit to the Ravens for surviving that. I think the 48-yard run by Lamar Jackson completely changed the game, because even at that point, that's another third and long. They had been doing well on third down. They've been getting after him in a half in which the Titans got four sacks, which again is 20% of their season total in one half. But then he sneaks out, and you know, Byard. Look, I mean, you could knock Byard for not making the open field tackle Lamar Jackson. You'd certainly much rather him do it, but man, there aren't many guys who are doing that, and you know, just a. That, to me, just changed the game completely. And that start, I mean, 126 yards on those first three possessions, including the three and out, and 83 yards the rest of the way for the Titans. Would not have guessed a 20-13 game at all, or that this offense would just disappear like that.
Yeah, and that leads us to our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. What was the most disappointing part of yesterday's Titans loss against the Ravens? And the options are Derrick Henry held down in that game just 40 yards, Tannehill's performance in the game not being able to carry the team to victory in the playoffs, the coaching decisions, we'll get into those later. I think there are a few that were questionable yesterday by Mike Vrabel and his staff. And then, of course, not being able to stop Lamar Jackson, particularly on the ground in that game. And as you said, Joe, I thought for the most part in the first half, they did a great job. Number one, they were getting to him, bringing him to the ground. But even on like the design runs by Lamar Jackson in the first half, the Titans did a great job, I thought, of just kind of walling him off. You know, he was trying to get to the edge and get around the corner on the sideline. And the Titans defense, it was going very similar, I think, to how it went in the previous two matchups, where they did a good job of forcing him sideways, forcing him to the sideline, and not allowing him to just kill him on the ground game. And then it felt like once he broke that big one and got out of the pocket and just, you know, galloped to the end zone for 48 yards, even the design runs in the second half, much more effective for Lamar Jackson after that point, where I thought they started really well defending him in that area.
Yeah, look, they do have a good formula, and they did a good job. I mean, there were a lot of guys flying around making plays. David Long, you know, Desmond King, those DBs were kind of, I mean, they were doing a really good job. But yeah, in the end, you're still talking about 400 plus yards of offense, 136 on the ground for Lamar Jackson, 236 for the team. I mean, a 236-51 rushing edge for the Ravens. And I thought the Ravens adjusted well too. I mean, all of a sudden they're throwing the little, you know, getting the ball to the fullback slash defensive lineman in the flat.
The guy's huge.
Yeah. And just taking what was given. And also they picked on Adoree Jackson. When they needed to do something, even a lot of times it was just little quick play action, you know, out cuts and things like that. But man, they obviously going into this game looked on the film and said, we're going to go with that guy. And it worked.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill text in, says, the fact is we got out-coached. Greg Roman made great adjustments after halftime, and the defense didn't adjust, and Arthur Smith didn't have a good game. We didn't utilize Tannehill's legs at all and really didn't make the Ravens pay for focusing so heavily on Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I thought about that too. The we never saw Tannehill. And again, it's not like you're sitting there going to a game like, well, I need about a good 8 to 10 Tannehill runs here. But never, you know, never saw like one of the little read option plays,
yeah,
or he just never, you know, broke the pocket and got out there. Usually that's part of a game somewhere. It was part of the first game between the Titans and Ravens, you know, Tannehill using his feet a little bit. So that was one thing that was missing here. But yeah, look, I agree. Greg Roman took a lot of crap last year for not running the ball when it was still sort of in reach there. It's still not way out of reach in Baltimore. In this game, they stuck with it at 10-0. And like the texter said there, good adjustments by them and great job defensively. I mean, look, I think that this was in part it's harder in Nashville for people, to look at it this way, but this was a lot of this is credit to the Ravens and just being physical. And there's no question that those guys up front make a huge difference for that defense in this matchup. I mean, we saw it play after play after play. Derrick Henry just could not find daylight.
But Joe, you mentioned the word physical. Last January, I thought the Titans were more physical than the Ravens and punched them in the mouth. And that was early in the game. And yesterday, I felt like the Ravens were more physical and punched the Titans in the mouth late in the second quarter and in the third quarter.
I agree. But it's also like who, you know, they didn't have some of these guys last year. You know, they changed their defense some, you know, in the offseason after what the Titans did to them. And this is a great example of, you know, an offseason that actually pays off for a team, you know, relative to the opponent, which had an offseason that paid very little, if anything.
And, you know, the narrative that we talked about last week with Lamar Jackson and not being able to get it done in the playoffs and wondering if that offense can win in the playoffs, we thought it was ridiculous all along with just a two-game sample size. I would hope at this point that is done and we're done having that conversation because he played really well yesterday. And you mentioned, Joe, like as a team, if you're the Titans, if you can hold the Ravens to 150 or below in the rushing game, that's a win. Well, that didn't happen. 236 yards, two touchdowns on the ground, that long 48-yarder by Lamar Jackson. I thought, even though that interception aside, which, again, was one of the worst interceptions I think I've ever seen, Lamar Jackson was pretty dadgum good yesterday.
Yeah, he really was. You know, he's 17-24. Like you said, awful pick. And a lot of quick, you know, a little quick, easy access throws. But he made some really important throws, too, at different times on third down later in the game. And, yeah, the next thing with him will be, can you win a Super Bowl this way? And, right. Hey, until they do, then that's a fair question. But they're tough to deal with, you know, because Dobbins didn't really get going, but he's a heck of a player. And then, you know, Gus Edwards, both those guys average about 5 a carry. You know, they – you know, 8 for 38 for Gus, 9 for 43 for Dobbins, enough to keep the Titans honest. And then Lamar Jackson he's just electric. He was the most electric player on the field yesterday.
So what happened to the Titans offensively yesterday? Why were they never able to get going on that side of the ball where they've been so good and so productive all season long? We'll discuss that when we come back and get your reaction all show long to the Titans' loss to the Ravens. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Ryan Porth bringing us back in with little Eric Church today. Somber mood.
When it's over,
it's over. Very nicely done, Ryan Porth. A lot of people surprised yesterday, not in the fact that the Titans lost, Joe, but in the way that they lost. And you look at the offense, and like you said, just never really got going. What was 126 yards on the first three drives and then 83 total after that? Not a good day offensively. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, Tannehill really let me down yesterday. 13 points from that offense is unacceptable. Did not lose the way that I expected that we would lose, LOL. So, again, surprise yesterday in the way the Titans lost the game. Why do you think they were never able to get anything going offensively yesterday in that game outside of that drive where A.J. Brown just totally took over and they moved the ball right up and down the field?
Yeah, I think the offensive line, the line of scrimmage is where you start. That's where you always start in football. So I thought that early on, even though they really never got anything going running the ball, early on they were protecting really well. And I thought, that got tougher for them. It seems that the Ravens adjusted, from that. It wasn't the first drive, but it was the touchdown drive. The Ravens really adjusted to the A.J. Brown thing. We never saw Corey Davis, and this is one of the kind of mysteries from yesterday that, maybe we'll get an answer on this week. But, he was hurt in some way. I mean, Vrabel used the term unavailable.
Yeah.
But even before he was standing on the sideline there, I think there was one target that went his way. He was covered and it was sailed. Let me see he actually did have two targets in the game. So there's no Corey Davis. They got Firkser free, of course, for that one big play. But I also think that it was just a bad day for Arthur Smith. I mean, I think it was a lot of first down running, more than I think we're used to seeing from him. And obviously it didn't work, but they were in, second and third long a lot. And it was an impressive defensive game. That's a really good D. When you put it all together, you get Ngakoue giving you some pressure. Campbell obviously makes a huge difference. Good corners. That's one of the best defenses, maybe the best defense left in the playoffs right now.
They look really good.
But you still just don't expect the Titans to you expect them to produce against anyone, because basically that's what they've done all year. And Tannehill, I feel like it was just across the board a lot of guys not playing their best, and definitely including Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, and going back to the Corey Davis thing, it's not going to be a good day for your offense when you look in the box score and your quarterback has one more reception than Corey Davis on the day. That's generally not a good sign.
Yeah, there was one where you can't catch it, man. You can't catch it. That was a big moment, the late half trying to do something, and all of a sudden you just take that 10-yard L right there, and now you're done.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Kinston, who wants to weigh in on the Titans' loss to the Ravens. Kinston, go ahead. Thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Good morning, guys. What's going on, Joe? What's going on, Robbie?
What's going on?
Nothing much, man. I can't be upset about the results yesterday, man. They beat us fair and square. There were no special team errors. The defense played, I think, their best game of the entire year out of the first two, three possessions. I mean, they look like a top defense. We got three and out. We got a turnover. The offense came out. There wasn't a slow start on either side of the ball, something that plagued us in all season and certainly in our five losses. They did something that no team has done in 3 years. They shut down Derrick Henry. And I wonder if they gave a blueprint to the rest of the league and how to do that. Tannehill was what we expected. I think the offense was what we expected it to be without a run game. I'm really worried about Corey Davis. He hasn't been anywhere to be found for the last three games. And it's hard to do that when you don't have any tight end production. And you have to rely on one receiver. So, give credit to the Ravens. They beat us fair and square. And better luck next year.
Hey, thanks for the call, Kinston. Appreciate that. I mean, it's hard to argue with anything he threw out there. And it is, I think it was glaring yesterday, Joe, when you don't have a number two receiver going along with A.J. Brown, especially with Adam Humphries out. I mean, this offense,
yeah,
it's just hard to get anything going. I mean, it was all on A.J. Brown. And look, he got targeted 10 times yesterday, 6 receptions. I thought they should have gone to him more. I mean, I thought with the way he was playing, especially the way he was winning battles on that first drive, sometimes you just got to toss it up to the air, in the air to him, see if he can come down with it. But to Kinston's point there, when Corey Davis is struggling the way he was struggling and maybe battling through an injury situation that we were unaware of heading into the game, it just really limited how effective this offense could be. And obviously, a bad day for Derrick Henry, 18 carries, 40 yards. Maybe the Ravens did show a blueprint yesterday. Now, I think the Ravens, from a personnel standpoint, more equipped than a lot of teams to play that way against the Titans. But, I mean, they were just great in their game plan against Derrick Henry.
Yeah, like I don't look at this game and say, uh-oh, next year a bunch of 40-yard games coming for Derrick Henry. You know, I mean, it's every matchup's different, and they changed their team for this matchup, and ultimately, you know, he wore them out the first time around in November, but they were doing a good job in that game even without two of their best players up front. They really got it done in this game. But, yeah, I mean, look, I think Derrick Henry's going to be just fine. This was also, though, you mentioned the receiver thing. I mean, we've talked all year. Obviously, the pass rushing situation and, you know, Logan Ryan and Conklin and Casey and all these different things, different decisions that were made. But another thing that they didn't do was, you know, add to the receiver depth. And I thought this was the game where it really got them. Like you said, no Humphreys. Then Davis, you know, who has been struggling. I mean, really his last three games, great point by the caller. I mean, he's kind of disappeared. There's a lot of stuff going on, you know, with him in his life. But that pick was, that would have been Corey Davis.
Yeah.
You know, instead it's Khalif Raymond. And, you know, Vrabel was very upset about the officiating in general. But the question, I actually asked him about that particular play. But, man, I've watched that play so many times over and over again. And it's like you can't fall right there. You know, you got to be stronger than that. I mean, that's a tough one to call PI on. Now, sometimes you will see it. It's like a basketball official who waits to see if someone makes the layup or not, yeah. You know? And it's like, if they don't, okay, that was a foul. It's one of those things where, like, if there's a bump there and then the guy gets a pick, oof. I mean, I understand the Titans being upset with it, but at the same time, Khalif Raymond, it wasn't that much contact, and you fall down, and now it's just a freebie for the Ravens.
I don't want to hear any complaining about no pass interference on that call. I also don't want to hear any complaining about potential OPI for A.J. Brown on that first touchdown. Both were borderline. It's the playoffs. They're both fighting for the ball. My biggest problem with that interception was that Ryan Tannehill was throwing to Khalif freaking Raymond with the season on the line when Khalif freaking Raymond hasn't been a factor all season long.
Well, it made matters worse when you go back and look at the replay. And obviously we didn't see this in live action, but you go back and look at the replay. Right. And A.J. Brown is streaking down the sideline, yes, wide open, waving his hands up in the air. I mean, you could see it as soon as Tannehill let go of the ball on the replay. A.J. Brown is literally just jumping up and down with how wide open he was. And that's, to me, obviously, you're not in Ryan Tannehill's shoes, and you're not seeing – obviously, he doesn't have the benefit of instant replay, and you're going through your progressions, and you feel like Raymond's there, and he's in good body position, which actually – he was on that play. You stay up on that play. Yeah. The worst thing that happens is an incompletion on that play. But it was tough for a Titans fan, I think. You go back and look at that replay, and A.J. Brown is just wide open, streaking down the sideline.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, Tannehill watched that film and put his head in his hands. But Ryan, I mean, it wasn't, this wasn't 4th and 10, like, okay, I have to go to my guy. It was first down. I mean, Khalif Raymond's out on the field running a route. Khalif Raymond scored a touchdown against these guys last year in the playoffs. I mean, they also threw a huge got a completion of Nick Westbrook-Akeen in this game. I mean, that's where they are receiver-wise. If you're Tannehill and those guys are running routes for you, you have to throw the ball to them. And that ball, that was a square in that was absolutely there for another first down. Like you said, right, maybe it's a PBU or whatever, and it's 2nd and 10. But you can't rule out a guy because he's not the best guy. That's who is your out there running routes for you.
I understand that, but A.J. Brown was the best player in the game yesterday. And you need to move the ball downfield and get a game-tying touchdown, and they didn't even throw the ball once to A.J. Brown on that last drive. And the fact that Khalif Raymond was even out there, not a detriment to him, but the fact that that this Titans coaching staff or front office trusted the wide receiver depth that they already had and didn't go out and get anybody in the offseason and just ran these guys out there, Batson and Raymond and Westbrook-Akeen, in a playoff game when you could have gone out and got some veteran help in the offseason makes it sting even more.
It is an underrated failing, you know, because in the draft, obviously, great receiver draft. No pass rushers is what we usually talk about, but no receivers is another miss there. I mean, it just is. You know, they needed to have somebody else at four after losing Tajae Sharpe. And so that's another area now that they're going to have to really dig in on, especially depending on what happens with Corey Davis.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. CD texts in and says, now we get to hear another offseason of Tannehill sucked it up again in the playoffs. And it's interesting that CD says that because we're going to talk about that when we come back. What do we think about Ryan Tannehill and his performance yesterday? And do we take anything away from another pedestrian stat line in a playoff game? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Getting your reaction all show long to the Titans' loss to the Ravens yesterday in the wild card round. The Ravens come in. They win 20-13. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And we've talked about the offense. It was tough yesterday. They never really got going outside of that touchdown drive to take the 7-0 lead where A.J. Brown was just dominant on that drive. And outside of that, especially in the second half, they could just never seem to find themselves offensively. And Ryan Tannehill was asked about that after the game, why they could never get anything going. Here's what Ryan Tannehill had to say.
Yeah, Ryan, you guys drive and score, I think, on two of the first three possessions. What changed after that point, in your opinion, there in the second quarter?
I don't think we executed good enough. You know, I don't think anything dramatic changed. We just didn't take advantage of opportunities and execute. We got ourselves in some long yard situations, didn't execute good enough on third down, and you know, weren't able to sustain drives. So when you're not able to do that against a good defense, then you know, you're not going to score.
So that was Ryan Tannehill after the game yesterday, Joe. And fair or unfair, there is going to be a narrative that continues after the performance yesterday. Ryan Tannehill, he finishes 18 of 26, 165 yards, one touchdown, and one interception. Obviously a stat line that's not going to blow anybody away. Now, I didn't come away from the game yesterday thinking that, man, Ryan Tannehill was just awful yesterday and they couldn't get anything going. I thought the play calling was bad. I didn't think Arthur Smith had a very good day at all yesterday. Obviously, it hurts the offense as a whole when you can never get Derrick Henry rolling. And, you know, 18 carries, 40 yards yesterday, that's not going to get it done in the running game. But I do think we're going to hear about it this offseason of, all right, if other teams, if they hem in Derrick Henry and they shut him down, is Tannehill good enough to go win the game on his own and get it done through the passing game? And yesterday, the answer to that question was no, and the Titans offense just wasn't able to get it going. So what did you think of Tannehill's performance yesterday, and what do you think of that narrative that I think is still going to be out there this offseason, that if you shut down Derrick Henry and this Titans running game, Ryan Tannehill is not going to be good enough to beat you in the playoffs?
Yeah, well, it's like you said. I mean, it's going to be there. And I agree that I didn't leave the game either saying, man, Tannehill, terrible. But it wasn't good enough. I mean, he's got to be better than that, you know, to do the things you want to do. You're talking about lofty stuff. And so your quarterback's got to be there too. And I don't think he was there. You know, you go through a game and then you're like, okay, what happened exactly? You go back. So, like we said, three possessions, 126 yards, 10-0 lead. So they had two more possessions the rest of the first half. One of them, basically, it was Henry went for one. Then they had an illegal use of the hands of the Ravens. So Henry for nothing on first down, 5 yards to Swaim, and then you got a sack. Derek Wolfe comes in. There was a twist. Jeremy McNichols blocked no one, and there's a sack. So yep. Protection starts to break down. The only other possession of the first half was that late possession with starts out with the screen that then gets batted to Tannehill. Then you're done, right? So then you go into the third quarter. The Ravens start the third quarter. Here's a advertisement for deferring, I guess, because it worked out for them. They get the ball. They go 10 plays, 77 yards, 6 minutes off the clock. All of a sudden, they're up 17-10. 17 straight points. You know, and you here you go, Henry for two. You know, you get one first down to Batson, but then you get a third down, and this is one of the – I forgot about this, Corey Davis. There's one of two targets for him. Actually, it was kind of a drop by Davis, but Marlon Humphrey was right there and got credit for a PBU. So there you go. You know, you're done, and now you're getting into the fourth quarter here, you know, because they are possessing the ball. You get the one field goal drive, and this is where also in the red zone, we knew this was going to be key, right? But the Titans only had two trips to the red zone yesterday.
Yeah.
The second one was this one where you get a nice few plays. I mentioned the pass to Westbrook. There was a roughing the passer and a big play to A.J. Brown. You get in there, you're at the 10, Henry for two on first down. Then you know, Tannehill basically has to dump to A.J. Brown crossing, and then they're at the 5, and he gets sacked. I'm sorry, he doesn't get sacked. He's about to get sacked, and he just sort of unloads it to Henry. So, I mean, look, the Ravens, coverage in the red zone, pressure on Tannehill, these things all combined, you know, to make it tougher on them. But at 17-13, and, you know, then basically that next possession was the one that we'll talk about a lot more on the show today, which was, you know, you've got it now, you know, at – you got another A.J. Brown big play. You've got it at their 40, and you decide to punt. I mean, it's not like you had a ton of opportunities, but when you did, I feel like the first down runs just gave you nothing and put you behind the sticks, and you couldn't protect well enough. You couldn't get enough people open. Some of this is a personnel situation. Again, Davis, you're missing Humphreys. You don't have Taylor Lewan. You don't have Jonnu Smith as a pass-catching option. But a lot of these things have been true, and the Titans' offense has still been able to score 31 points a game this year.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Plain Joe texts in and says, I'm confused by Tannehill's performance. Was it him or the Ravens' defensive game plan? With 9 in the box on every snap, how is there nowhere to throw the ball in the second half? And that was interesting. I mean, the Ravens made no secret about it. They were manning up on the outside, and they were daring you to throw the ball. I mean, Derrick Henry was obviously the focal point of the defense. And to your point, I mean, getting Calais Campbell, Brandon Williams back in the game, I mean, it made a huge difference on the line. The Ravens were winning the line of scrimmage pretty much all game long, but it wasn't like this just big secret what they were doing defensively. And that's where I point the blame back to Arthur Smith. I didn't think they did a good enough job, especially, like you said, on early downs, of testing that Ravens defense down the field. I mean, we talked about it earlier in the week. Lewis Riddick even mentioned it on the broadcast. Marcus Peters is a guy who's a very good cornerback. He's also susceptible to the double move. He's very aggressive in what he does. And I didn't think the Titans offensively did a good job of testing them down the field often enough at all.
Yeah, like, again, early – and we talked earlier about Firkser. He had a couple real nice plays. There was one where, again, Firkser basically is like Adam Humphreys, you know, at times in this offense, where I was like, I guarantee you on this look, he is already predetermined he's going to Firkser. Boom, did it, got him on the first down. And then, of course, they had the other big play to him. But you would think that there would have been other chunk plays available based on how the Ravens were playing. And the Titans just did not find them. So, yeah, I think some of it is the first down stuff. But it just, you know, it just wasn't there. And it's just weird to see that from the Titans. I mean, how many times this year have they really, you know, they've had some protection issues at times, you know, especially shortly after Lewan went down. But they've been able to figure things out for the most part. I mean, if I gave you the stat, the sacks in this game will be Titans 5, Ravens 1. Just that stat. What would you have? I mean, I would have guessed a Titans win if you just one stat, and that's how you have to guess the game based on.
Well, combine that stat and then knowing going into the game that you hold the Ravens to 20 points. Like, if you would have told me before the game started yesterday that you held the Ravens offense to 20 points, I said, all right, well, the Titans are going to win this game by double digits. They'll win by 10 points in this game. So the fact that it ends up being 20-13, maybe the most surprising thing of all. Like, I'm not surprised that the Titans lost this game. I've kind of had a feeling about this team for the last 6-7 weeks that we've talked about, that with how imbalanced they are, I just didn't know if a deep run was truly in the cards. But the way they lost this game in particular, very surprising to me. If you'd have told me they held Baltimore to 20 points heading into this game, I would have said the Titans win this game.
What was the over-under on this game?
54.5.
Yeah, they did not approach the over.
By the way, my called shot, which, Joe, you mocked on Friday, of me saying that this game would be the highest-scoring Titans-Ravens playoff game of the five. Joe, you mocked it, and I got it wrong.
You did.
Gosh, no kidding. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for mocking your wrong pick.
Oh, man. It was such a bizarre way for this game to play out, and just how productive this offense has been. And again, I didn't walk away from the game thinking that, you know, Ryan Tannehill struggled, and that's the reason they lost. I mean, we got a text on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com that says Tannehill was fine. The play calling was what was wrong. What throws did Tannehill miss? None. Like, even on the interception, like, people are obviously going to look at the interception when you're trying to drive down the field and tie that game. I thought Raymond went down easy. Like, I guess you could make an argument that it was pass interference. But to me, that's not a call you're going to get, especially in a playoff game. So, obviously, I mean, the interception I didn't think was on him. The ball was where it was supposed to be. If Raymond stays up, at worst, that play is an incompletion. So, I don't think some of the conversation that's going to be out there is fair in terms of Tannehill and his performance. But it is true that you look at his stat lines in the playoffs with the Titans, they're not great. And if teams stop Derrick Henry, like Kansas City was able to do last year and like Baltimore was able to do this year, it's been tough sledding for the Titans in their offense. I don't think there's any way to deny that at this point.
Yeah, and you can say he didn't miss passes, and that's a good point. I mean, I can't think of any. There were a few he sailed, but it was good coverage. But again, we've talked about you missed the open A.J. Brown on what could have been the game-winning touchdown. And also on that red zone possession that I just talked about, where it ends up, he just basically dumps it to Henry, and he gets stuffed, and they have to settle for a field goal rather than getting the tying touchdown. You know, you've got that. You got two straight pass plays where – usually Tannehill has a pretty good idea and he fires it into a tight window in the red zone. And that's how they've scored a lot of their touchdowns. And, you know, you can give the credit to the Ravens and that's fine, but usually on the film, you'll sit there, Tannehill and Pat O'Hara, those guys will be like, oh, yep, here's where you should have thrown this one. And here's where you should have thrown this one. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, he didn't throw into the end zone on each. So they had three plays, you know, starting at the 10, and never threw the ball into the end zone once. That's quarterback decision. And, again, you have to give the Ravens credit. I think you start there. But if you're going to win games like this, your quarterback is going to find that person and throw the ball. Your quarterback's going to move off the first read of Khalif Raymond and hit A.J. Brown.
And speaking of A.J. Brown, did the Titans make a critical mistake in the middle parts of the game yesterday by not continuing to look his way? What could have happened if they took more chances down the field to A.J. Brown? We'll discuss that when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
It seemed like, you know, he wasn't involved as much there in the second and third quarters. Were they doing something that specifically kind of tried to take him away during that span?
We still got a shot downfield there. On the field goal drive there in the fourth quarter or third quarter, I guess we ended up kicking the field goal at the start of the fourth. Their last drive there made a play downfield for us. You know, they did change up the looks a little bit. You know, one time, you know, they passed off a route when we thought we were going to have him. Another one, they basically bear hugged him down the field. So didn't get a flag on that one either. Like I said, just tip your hats to those guys. You know, they did enough in making adjustments and we didn't get it done.
That was Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill after the game yesterday, a 20-13 loss in the wild card round to the Baltimore Ravens as the Titans season comes to an end. And he's discussing A.J. Brown there and his lack of involvement in the offense in the second and third quarters. And, Joe, we've talked about the drive where the Titans take a 7-0 lead, and A.J. Brown matched up largely on that drive against Marlon Humphrey, and it did not go well for Marlon Humphrey on that drive. Even with, you know, the touchdown pass aside, A.J. Brown was dominant on that drive. He looked like he could be in for a special day, and they talked about it on the broadcast. He's been dealing with injuries all season long. The ankle injury, you know, Diana Russini said, I think before the game, he's been dealing with since week one. So obviously A.J. Brown been gutting through some things this year, but he looked like he was in rare form yesterday, playing really well. And then all of a sudden you catch that touchdown pass, and A.J. Brown doesn't catch another ball until like 3 minutes and 30 seconds left in the third quarter. And I thought of all of the things that were disappointing yesterday. Obviously, you want more production from Derrick Henry. You want to be able to sustain more drives. But I thought A.J. Brown's lack of involvement in the offense during that stretch was the most disappointing part, given how well he was playing and given what the Ravens were doing defensively. I mean, it was obvious that they were keying in on stopping Derrick Henry and the run, and I felt like the Titans did not go down the field and throw the ball up for A.J. Brown as much as they should. I'm not saying you got to be reckless with the ball and just chuck it up in the air, but he's a guy that's shown he can go up and get some 50-50 balls, and I just didn't see that enough from the Titans' offense yesterday.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, there was one fade that Tannehill threw, which, by the way, that was an errant throw, but where Lewis Riddick kind of pointed out, see, they're bringing the safety here. So, without looking at the coach's tape of every pass play after, that drive you mentioned where he just dominated Humphrey, I suspect there was a lot more safety help just to him. Sure. on some of those situations, which I'm sure deterred some of that. But, yeah, I mean, you still, when it comes down to it, especially if Corey Davis is a non-factor and there's really no one else, after you have a couple plays to Firkser, at some point you have to force it up. By the way, on the touchdown with A.J. Brown, I agree with Porth on the – like, that's one of those plays where in slow-mo, it's like, yeah, he does extend the arm. But in real time, I didn't for a minute think that was OPI. That was one of those – if you're an official on the field calling that, I can't fault an official for not calling OPI there.
Well, the whole route, Marlon Humphrey's all over him. Like, he's inside the collarbone. He's grabbing him. So, I didn't have a problem with the no call.
It was basically hand fighting, and A.J. Brown got the last little push. So, yeah, that was one of those things that replay makes it. It's very easy for anybody to officiate a play in slow-mo. But that was such a dominant drive. And you figured the Ravens would adjust. I don't know how much they did. There was at least one play that Lewis Riddick pointed out, the safety, coming over on the fade. But 10 targets for him out of 20, six pass attempts. I guess in a game like yesterday, you almost want him to have half. That's probably would have been about right. Maybe 2-3 more to him just to give him a shot. And again, especially that last one.
It looked like Marlon Humphrey also on that touchdown may have tried to sell it a little bit after A.J. Brown made contact. So,
right.
For the Ravens fans who were whining about no OPI, give me a break. It's the playoffs. They're going to swallow the whistles just like they did most of that game. But the one play that you guys brought up last segment of the play action A.J. Brown on the first play of the drive where they got the field goal in the third quarter, why, like, I called that watching the game of you have to get away from running with Henry on first down and get the ball to A.J. Brown. And that's what happens when you draw up something to your best receiver who is having a great game and you got the ball downfield on that play. The penalty helped get it into the red zone, but the fact that they were giving it to Henry on like first down every single drive, and then on that drive you go play action, you throw to Brown, you get the ball downfield. Like, those are kinds of plays that I wanted to see more of yesterday.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those things where I felt it all game long, and they talked about it on the broadcast too. Like, if they're going to single him up, throw the ball to him a little bit more. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Stewart texts in and says, "It's two games where the offense had no answer to a five-man front and good corners in the Packers and the Ravens." And that's a good point brought up by Stewart. You think back to the Packers game, and obviously, it's snowing in that game. It's a little bit different from an element standpoint. But it was pretty obvious what the Packers were doing. They had five-man fronts. Sometimes Joe had six-man fronts to try to stop Derrick Henry and just went man-to-man on the outside, and the Titans weren't able to get it going in the passing game. I didn't know if it was quite that extreme yesterday by the Ravens just based on how dominant their front was, but a lot of man-to-man coverage, obviously some really good cornerbacks yesterday as well, and the Titans just never got anything going offensively. Good point by Stewart there.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, look, this offense changed significantly when Taylor Lewan went down. And I do think that these situations kind of remind everyone of what you lose when you lose an elite left tackle like that, and the different things you have to do. And that's not an excuse for anything, but it's there are some – they are limited in some ways, especially if you don't have the limited receiver depth that they already had. You know, I mean, if you have those guys going, then I think you can adjust. But it felt like Arthur Smith was a little bit out of moves yesterday, except that, like Port said, that nice little, you know, those play action stick routes to AJ Brown have worked so well this year. You know, sometimes it's an 8-yard play that he turns into a 30-yard play.
Yeah.
And I just didn't think, for whatever reason, it was absolutely just try to work Henry on first down. And the Ravens were obviously ready for that, very good against that, and they had to mix it up more than they did.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Joe, I was wondering when we would get a text like this, and we get it from Hunter. Hunter texts in and says, the play calling was abysmal. I think Arthur Smith was already leaving the building for a head coaching job and preparing for his head coaching interview with the Jags later that Saturday.
Well, I thought Urban Meyer is coaching the Jags. I've seen – I mean, this is one of those, okay, careful Titans fans, a little bit of, oh, get out of here, Arthur Smith. Like, yeah, you don't want that. You don't want that. It was not his best day, without question. But if you as a Titans fan are like, please get him out of here, I would reconsider that.
Yes, I would too. Now, it was a bad day, and it is, I think, at least feasible to make the connection of, all right, you're getting all this buzz around head coaching opportunities. Was that a distraction for Arthur Smith and his play calling and maybe his game planning this week? I don't buy into that. I think just with seeing Arthur Smith operate and what you've heard him say, I mean, he's a pretty day-by-day guy. So I don't think that, you know, him getting head coaching buzz was a huge factor in what happened yesterday, but it was, I think, a bad day for him. I didn't think he did well play calling. I thought they were way too heavy running on first down, like you said, and I am not surprised that there will be some Titans fans kind of taking that leap and making that jump today of, all right, he's getting all this buzz about being a head coach. Was that a distraction heading into this game?
Yeah, I mean, look, if that's dominating his mind, then you know what your best possible job interview is? Having a great game on the field yesterday. I mean, so I'm obsessed with getting a head coaching job. So how about I stymie myself by having a terrible offensive? No, I mean, it's, you know, like, you know, I'm sure he worked all the same hours, if not more, you know, last week, and didn't have a good day. And in some ways, you know, I think there's limitations that the Ravens exposed. The Ravens also showed how good they can be on defense. But, you know, that's a leap. And it's also a leap to say that you'd rather not have him around here.
So let's get into the coaching. Let's continue that conversation on the other side of the break. How much blame do we put on Mike Vrabel and his staff yesterday for what went down against Baltimore? We'll discuss when we come back. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.